Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus here letting us in into his conversation with you, his Heavenly Father. And we thank you this morning that the Spirit does help us to understand your word. And we pray that he would be powerfully at work this morning. Help us to grasp these big concepts and help them to make them accessible to the youngest and the oldest here alike. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it's going to be a bit of a challenge. So I need a sandwich before I get started. So just excuse me one moment. I don't know if you had a chance to have eat before you came out, but I just need to make a sandwich. Do you like sandwiches? Yeah? What's your favourite sandwich? What do you like in your sandwiches? Marmite? Oh, no. They say Marmite is like the gospel, isn't it? You either love it or you hate it. Right. So to make a sandwich, though, what you need is you need some bread, don't you, first? And then you need to put on a layer of butter. There we go. There we go. And then we need to put something in the middle of our sandwich, don't we? So I've got a little bit of ham. It's not going to be the most appealing sandwich. Doesn't look as tasty as that one, does it? But there we go, there is our sandwich. Two pieces of bread, some butter, and then right in the middle, some filling. I won't eat it now because I won't be able to talk. Well, that's not a very impressive sandwich, but we have a very tasty sandwich in front of us in the passage today. Because this passage is like a sandwich. Now, Jesus here is in the upper room. We've been learning about as adults. Children, you have to ask your parents what they've been learning in church. They always hopefully ask you what you've been learning in Sunday school. Well, you can ask them today what they've been learning in church over the last few weeks and see whether they know. But I'll give them a clue to remind them. We've been learning about how Jesus was going and he was going to leave his disciples. And he was telling us how we are to live as Jesus' disciples whilst he's gone, whilst we wait. And here, Jesus has finished talking to the disciples, and now he prays. He prays firstly for himself, and then he prays for the disciples and their special role that he's given them, and then he prays for us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus praying for us. We're going to see a little that in a couple of weeks' time. But today, Jesus prays for himself. And as he does, he shows what matters most to him. And what he prays is a sandwich. So have a look down at those verses with me, if you would, and see if you can spot it. So first of all, you've got the bread. The bread's on the outside, isn't it? So if you look at verse 1, we see it's all about God glorifying the Son. And then we see that verse 5 is about the same, how God would glorify Jesus. So that's the bread. And then we have the butter. And that comes next in verses 2 and 4. We see that Jesus wants to be glorified because of the work he's going to do on the cross. The work he's going to do as he comes to give eternal life. And then you get the filling. The most important bit, the bit that's right at the center, is verse 3. As he tells us what the eternal life is that he gives. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the bread and the butter that holds it all together. And then we're going to look at the filling in the middle. So first of all, let's have a look at the bread and butter and the glory of the cross, the glory of the cross. Now, glory, as I say, is a strange word, isn't it? It's not a word it's easy to explain. What do we mean by glory? Well, to glorify someone is to give them praise or honour because of who they are or what they've done. So, for example, does anyone know about this? The Oscars last weekend. Oscars is where people are given awards, actors are given awards for their films. And last week we saw Olivia Colman get the Best Actress Award for playing Queen Anne in the film The Favourite. And as she received that Oscar, she was glorified. She was given glory for her acting skills, for how well she performed. So that's one way to think about glory. Or maybe you think about getting a certificate or award at school. Has anyone got an award recently at school, any of the children? Yes, what do you get, Hannah? Certificate for being good, okay, yeah. Completed your passport, brilliant. Yeah, Evie, have you got an award? Best mathematician, excellent. See, so you've been glorified, you've been honoured with a certificate. Praise. Here's Vicky's. This is Vicky's PhD certificate. It's worthy of lots of honour, and it hangs up in our study, and it is her proud moment of glory. So there we go. We'll put that there. She's loving the fact that I brought that out. Well, Jesus wants his glory to be seen. He wants God to show just how amazing and awesome Jesus is. Now, that might be quite arrogant. Imagine if I prayed, "Dear God, let everyone see how amazing I am." It would be a bit arrogant, wouldn't it? Nice people don't seek their own glory. If you had a child at school who was saying, "Look at me all the time, aren't I amazing?" we would want to see them fall. But Jesus is not concerned for his glory, but his Father's glory. Look what it says in verse 1, why he wants to be glorified. "Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Again, if you go back to the Oscars, often when people give their speeches at the Oscars, what they do is they then thank lots of other people. So they'll stand there and they'll get all teary and they'll sort of thank the director who made the film, or they'll thank their parents and for bringing them up. As they receive glory, they want to glorify someone else. They want to bring praise to someone else. And that is what Jesus is doing here. He wants to be glorified, so in turn people will see how glorious and magnificent and amazing God is. The Father is. So that's what it means to be glorified. But how are we to see that? How are we to see how amazing and glorious God is and Jesus? What is to be his moment of glory? Well, we're told it is at the cross. Jesus is glorified at the cross. Now, why do I say that? Well, if you look just to how Jesus starts, he says, "Father, the hour has come." And if you've been with us as we've worked through John's Gospel over the last year, and if you've got very good memories, the adults, you will remember that Jesus talks about the time or the hour as the time of Jesus' cross. So all the way through John's Gospel, it's not the time, it's not the time, it's not the time. And then in John chapter 12, Jesus says, "Now is the time. Now is the time when the Son of Man is to be glorified, when he lays down his life for his friends." That is the time of glory at the cross. You can go back and listen to the talks on the website if you want to. So if Jesus was to have his certificate hanging up on the room of heaven, in his study in heaven, it would have in it a picture of the cross. That is his moment of greatest glory, when he hangs on the cross. But that's a bit of a surprising place to be the moment of glory, isn't it? It's surprising because the cross doesn't look very glorious. And if you remember that, Gaza's tears as he lost in the European Cup or the World Cup? They were knocked out. It doesn't look very glorious when you lose or when you're defeated, does it? Or if you're... missed. The screen's not big enough. There is a girl over here, a little dancer, that's just fallen over. It's not very glorious if your moment of glory is to shine on the stage as a dancer and then you trip up and fall over. It doesn't look very glorious, does it? Not very amazing. And that's what it looks like with the cross. it looks like. It is the point of failure, of defeat, of humility, of disgrace. It's the point when everyone stood and laughed and mocked him, where his friends deserted him, and where he died alone, condemned and guilty. So why is the cross the place of glory? Well, because at the cross, the perfect work of God is completed. Now we're on to the butter in the sandwich, if you like. So have a look down at verse 2. Because look, Jesus says, glorify me. Why? Well, because you've granted me authority over all people, granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. That's the job he's been sent to do, to give eternal life through his death on the cross. And now is that point when he's going to achieve that through his death. So much so that verse 4, he speaks as though that job is completed. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do, that work of giving eternal life. So Jesus is saying, glorify me because my job is done. Because at the cross I've died to bring eternal life. You might know John 3:16, the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, that's why God sent Jesus into the world, because he loves us. He loves the world that's rebelled against him. And so he sent Jesus so that we might have eternal life. And so in doing so, at that point, we see his glory most clearly. Let me see if I can try and kind of help us get our heads around that. So, looks a bit like a science experiment, doesn't it? Good, well, think about the sun. Yeah, the sun's right there in billions of miles away out in the universe. But the rays from the sun come all the way from down there, and they come all the way to Earth. And as they reach us, we feel the glory of the sun. We feel its experience, its light and its heat as they come down to us, so that we can see something of the light and the heat that's produced by the sun. Yeah, so that's what Jesus has done, if you like. He's come from the glory of God in heaven to come down to earth to bring that glory to us, like the rays of the sun come to earth. Now, don't do this at home, or not without some supervision, but if you stick a magnifying glass and you get the sun's rays to shine down onto a magnifying glass, then you can have lots of fun. Because you intensify all the rays of the sun, all that light and that heat, and it comes and you see it all the more clearly as you're able to burn a hole in a piece of paper if you're a good boy, and in other things if you're not. And so that is kind of, the magnifying glass is like the cross. So yes, Jesus comes down from heaven, from the glory of God, to make God known. But at the cross, we see that most clearly as his glory is intensified for us to see. So let's have a think about that. So I've given some of the children a piece of paper, which has got a characteristic of God, what he's like, something of what he's like on it. So I want you to bring those out to the front now. Could I have an adult volunteer to come and... Hannah, would you come and hold my cross for me? Because you've got a piece of paper. And Chloe, do you want to come and hold the cross as well? Between you. Right. So, so when we think of the character of God, what do we think of? Well, first of all, we might think of God as loving. So I'll take that one. So we might think of God as loving. For God so loved the world. Yeah? God is always loving. But where do we see his love most clearly? Well, it's at the cross, where we see that Jesus, who came down, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Why? So that he may die, so that we can be forgiven. So we see his love most clearly at the cross as he makes that sacrifice for us. We might think of God as holy. God is a holy God. And that means he's separate to us. He has nothing to do with sin. Well, on the cross, we see his holiness most clearly as we see how serious sin is. And we see as well that he's just, God is just. And that means not only is he holy and he hates sin, but he must also punish sin. And so where do we see his justice most clearly? Well, on the cross, as Jesus takes God's punishment for our sin on himself. What else have we got left here? We've got faithful. So God is a faithful God. And we see that most clearly at the cross, as Jesus comes to fulfill what he has promised to us by dying for us, keeping all his promises, even at great cost to himself. And finally, thank you, Zach, we see that God is generous. Is generous. I don't know what's the most expensive present you've ever given or the most costly gift, but surely the most costly gift is giving your own son. And that's what God does as Jesus willingly comes to die for us. So you see, all those things that God is, we see most clearly at the cross, as it shows us all his glory, all the reasons why he's to be praised and honoured. Thank you very much. I'll put that over here. Well done, you can take a seat. Do you see? We see God's glory, we see his perfect character, all the things that make him worthy of praise and honour most clearly at the cross, as Jesus completes the work he's come to do to give eternal life. But what is that life that Jesus offers? Well, that's what we're going to see in a few moments as we get to the filling in the sandwich. We get to the sort of the heart of the passage as we look at verse 3. But before we do, we're going to sing John 3:16. I've said it, we've looked at it, but we're going to sing it now as we sing of those glorious truths of God's love shown for us in sending his son. So let's stand and sing together. So we've seen that the cross is the place of glory because it's where Jesus completes his work, that the Father has given him as he completes his mission to give eternal life. But what does it mean to have eternal life? That's the question. What does it look like? And that, I think, is the surprise of this passage. Because have a look at verse 3. Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So eternal life is not about what, but about who. Eternal life is all about who. It's about a relationship with a person, with God. See, when we think of eternal life, we might think of heaven, of something like this, of a future life in heaven. We might think of it like a perfect place. We might think of it by what's not there. So it's going to be a glorious because there'll be no hospitals because there'll be no sickness. There'll be no hankies because there'll be no pain and sadness. And there'll be no hearses because there'll be no death. Maybe that's what we think eternal life is. It's the absence of all those bad things. Or maybe we think of eternal life as what might be there. So it may be that you think eternal life and heaven will be like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. That it just, you could eat everything and there'll be rivers flowing with chocolate. Or it might be that you think eternal life will be like this. It will be a big family reunion where you're reunited with all those that you love forever. But here Jesus says it's none of those things. He says this is eternal life. Eternal life is that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, at the heart of eternal life is a relationship with God the Father and God the Son. Because it's God the Son who brings us into that relationship with God the Father, and so we are united together with them in a relationship through his work on the cross. That's what it means to know God. Not just know about them, but to be in relationship with him. So if I said to you, do you know Olivia Colman? You would say, well, yes, but not really. Because we know about her. You know now at least that she won an Oscar. But you don't know her personally. And that's what it means here, to know God. To know God is to have relationship with him, to be friends with him. So again, think of it a bit like this. So as we look at the cross, we can learn lots about God, can't we? So we can learn that he's loving and just and holy and faithful and generous. We learn all about his character. But knowing God is much more than that. It's not just knowing about these things, but it's experiencing them for ourselves. Knowing that he loves us, that he's been faithful to us, that he's just in punishing our sins on the cross, that he's holy, but he welcomes us, that he's generous to us, that we know those things for ourselves. Again, think of it like the sun and the rays. Again, there's one thing to know that science experiment, isn't it? To know that the sun produces the rays which comes down to Earth. But that's very different to feeling that heat and that light and benefiting from them for yourself, isn't it? And so it is with God and his character. You see, that's why the cross gives eternal life. Not just because of what it does, but what it does for us. And so that's the place that we are to come, to see his perfect love and justice and holiness and generosity and power and faithfulness. But it's also through which we experience those things personally. And that means that eternal life is something that starts now. So eternal life is not something that will happen in the future. I saw one picture on Google, which has a big sort of motorway sign. Eternal life, next exit. As if that's what's going to happen in the future. But no, if you're a Christian here today, then eternal life already has happened. You already have eternal life because you have relationship with God the Father through the Son. And through his completed work on the cross. And it's a life, eternal life is something you can have now if you don't have it yet. If you come to trust in Jesus and his work on the cross today. Eternal life starts now and then carries on through death for eternity. And it's what life is all about. Because this is true life. Eternal life is true life because we were made to know God. That's why we were created, to be in relationship with him. Sin pushed us out, cut us off from God. But now we can come back and enjoy true life. Not just breathing and having a pulse, but having relationship with the God who made us. True life, eternal life. So if you want to know God, then look to the cross, because that is where you'll see him in all his glory. But not just know about him, but to know him personally for yourself. because that is what life is all about. And that's what true life, eternal life is. Knowing God through Jesus Christ, his Son, and his death on the cross as he is glorified there. Let me pray, and let's pray that Jesus' prayer be true for us. Father, Jesus prayed that he would be glorified through his work on the cross as people receive eternal life. And so, Father, we pray that we today, as we look to the cross, as we see Jesus in all his glory, and as we come to know you more and more through that and experience eternal life, Father, we pray that Jesus himself will be glorified, that we would give him praise and honour for the way he has obediently done all that you asked of him and brought us so that we can know you as the one and true God and know him who you sent. In Jesus' name, amen.